contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm you are, your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. May we bow down in prayer. Father Lord, thank you for bringing us here to hear your word through servant Fritz. May you open our hearts, our ears, to really take in your word, Lord, and that we may build our lives around your word and your scripture. I would want to pray for child minding. May you watch over them and watch them grow spiritually as well, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel, for reading the word today, and thank you, worship team, for that awesome time of singing. So, here we are, the second week of January 2015, and I'm sure some of you have made your New Year's resolutions, right? How many of you decided to lose weight? Okay, how many of you have decided to get more fit? That's on top of losing weight. Awesome, right? Maybe some of you have started to train for the Vancouver Sun Run. I did that a few years ago, and you know, there's something in me that says maybe I should try it again this year, but I don't know. Or maybe even you want to train for a marathon. Well, I really admire you guys, and I encourage you to keep at it if you are doing this in the second week. And don't give up, okay? You know, training for one of these events, you know, these running events, takes time, doesn't it? Most training programs, you start off by alternating walking and running, and then gradually, week by week, you increase the intensity level. You walk less and you run more. You know, it would be foolish to run 10K immediately, right off the bat, unless you're some super elite athlete, like one of our, you know, Vancouver Canucks. But since most of you are not elite athletes, it would be smart to follow a program that gradually increases your stamina, your endurance, and all of that, right? So we must start off walking and build up to running if we are to train safely and remain relatively injury-free. But getting walking down is really important, isn't it? You know, ask any runner and they will tell you it's foundational to successful running. You have to learn to walk before you can run. Walk properly and run properly. You know, and so it is with the Christian life. The book of Colossians tells us to walk in Christ so that we can live in abundant Christian lives. What does the Apostle Paul, the writer of the Colossians here, see this as an essential to Christian life? Well, let's start off by just reviewing the background of this epistle once more. So the purpose of Paul's letter to the Colossians is basically to do this, to combat the heresy arising from church. So similar to the series that we had previously done in 1 John, where John was writing to the churches about heresy there. In particular, this idea called syncretism. Now, syncretism is this. It's combining ideas from other philosophies And other religions, example, paganism, Judaism, and the Greek thinking. So combining these philosophies with Christian truth. And so the heresy that came out of this syncretism was called Gnosticism. And this was the belief that emphasized the fact that you had to have this special knowledge in order to be spiritual. But even more importantly, Gnostics denied that Christ, denied Christ as God and Savior. And so to combat heresy, Paul stressed the supremacy of Christ, Jesus' deity, his connection with the Father, and his sacrificial death on the cross for sin. Now, furthermore, Colossians goes on to list the reasons why we should get to know him, get to know Jesus. You know, have you heard the song, the Beatles song, All You Need Is Love? Most of you know who the Beatles are, right? All you need is love, right? Well, if the Apostle Paul wanted to write a song about Colossians, it would be this. We go something like this. All you need is Christ. Okay? All you need is Christ. Okay. Everything believers need, including combating heresy, is found in Christ. So as we continue our study of Colossians, let's examine the beginning of chapter 2, as it proves to be very wise words that come from the apostle. So I'm going to take apart verses 1 through 5 and then bring our focus to verses 6 and 7. So let's look at briefly verses 1 through 5. If you have your Bibles in front of you, you can open and turn to them. Paul's concern for the church at Colossae was basically their spiritual welfare. He begins with, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. See, Laodicea is actually a town a few miles northwest of Colossae. And apparently they were having similar problems to the church of Colossae combating heresy. Verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This mystery that Paul referred to is the fact that Jesus Christ is God incarnate himself. You see, Paul wants us to understand, wants to let them know that you can find all spiritual truth in Jesus. He explains that you don't need to possess secret wisdom or some sort of transcendent knowledge that these false teachers were preaching. In other words, you don't need to be a part of the spiritual elite to understand God. Salvation, sanctification, glorification, all of these things can be freely found in Christ. And when the Holy Spirit indwells you as a Christian, he gives you clarity in understanding these spiritual truths. He continues on in verse 4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Here what Paul is saying is, don't be swayed by these Gnostic teachings, because I've told you Christ is God incarnate, and he is all you need for salvation and becoming spiritually mature. You know, today we fight this heresy in the church in general through our own personal study of God's word and then receiving sound Bible teaching from credible leaders such as our Sunday school teachers, pastors, seminary professors, counselors, so forth. Verse 5, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So writing from prison, Paul couldn't be with the Colossians, but that didn't mean he didn't love or have any concern for this church. You know, it was any less. He was very happy to know that they were steadfast in their faith. And so we come to our main focus of the message today, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. This live your lives in Him, in other versions like that, ESV says, so walk in Him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What does it mean to walk in Him, to live in Him? To walk in Christ is to live a life patterned after His. Let me say that again. To walk in Christ is to live a life patterned after Jesus. You know, it's like following that popular saying amongst Christians. This is an old saying. What WWJD, right? Growing up, they started introducing that when I was, I don't know, in my 20s or 30s. And, you know, they would create all these WWJD things, like bracelets, necklaces, posters, what have you. What would Jesus do? Well, walking in Christ involves this. Involves walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. What I mean by walking with Jesus. By doing this, walking with Jesus, believers can be built up and grow in our faith. Well, let me state the obvious. We have to get up on our feet and put one foot in front of the other in order to walk, right? If you're a new Christian, you know, a babe in Christ, God will take you through the crawling stages, through baby steps, through walking and then even running at times. But we have to actively take part in walking. Walking equates to prayer. Walking equates to yielding to the Holy Spirit. And walking equates to reading His word regularly. This is what a true disciple of, or follower of Jesus would do in order to grow. You know, these days, well, for the last 2.5 years, I've been doing a lot of walking, especially with this little guy. This is a picture of Jax maybe about a year ago when we had a bit more snow. And he loves to run, walk and run. I hold his hand sometimes loosely and sometimes tightly. And sometimes I let it go so he can get his exercise, right? His legs can get some exercise. But I'm always looking out for him and seeing if there are any dangers that lie ahead. I walk at his pace most of the time. But then, you know, there are times I challenge him to run so that he can grow stronger. God does this with his children, doesn't he? He takes us by the hand through life and guides our very steps, if we let him. He sees the pitfalls and bumps in the road that we do not see, and many times he protects his children from them. And then there are times that God challenges us to exercise our faith muscles so that we can grow and that we can be drawn closer to him. You know, sometimes it may not be the most convenient time for us. But have faith that God's timing is perfect. Now, how can a person tell if you have been walking in Christ? How can you tell? Well, you can see it displayed in a person's life, can't you? It will be evident by the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. Are you seeing love, peace, joy, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in a person's life, in your life. The person that exercises his faith muscles, you'll definitely see this. Do you see a positive change in a person's lifestyle? You know, maybe a person used to cuss and swear a lot before knowing Jesus, and now they don't. That's just one example. Now, these are just some examples of indicators of a person walking in Him. Is walking in Christ easy? Is it easy? Some of us may feel it is, while others may say, yeah, not so much. Well, first off, I want to make this statement about humanity in general. In reality, all of humanity walks with a limp. Walks with a limp. And the natural direction that we are pointed to is to a one-way elevator ride to hell. I'll put it bluntly that way. You see, we limp because of the disease of sin in our lives. Sin has affected the way we walk in life. We see people with pride. We see broken families. We see divorce. We see addictions to drug and pornography. We see drought, disease, and famine. We see murder happening in the world. We just saw that this week with the attack in Paris. We see cruel dictators running countries. And we see war happening on almost every continent. And we think we know what we're doing. And the world thinks we don't need God to fix these problems. We can do it just on our own. Now, as Christians, the first thing we need to realize is that we are handicapped right off the bat. We have the inability to truly walk in this life on earth without the help of God. Have any of you ever experienced what it's like to walk with crutches? I have. Somebody just injured Bill, right? He injured his foot in volleyball this summer in the summer camp. Injuring your ankle can be really painful. It happened to me playing volleyball a few years back. And, you know, I landed on somebody else's foot. It was just totally by accident. And the minute I landed, I heard a pop. And I was like, ah, and then the shooting pain right off my leg. And I just could not, you know, I sort of collapsed. And I'm like, ow. First time I've ever sprained my ankle that bad. I play a lot of basketball. And I would have expected to, sprain my ankle there more severely. But for this one, you know, the next day my ankle was swollen, became, you know, black and blue. And, you know, to help rehab my ankle, I had to go out, get a set of crutches and use those for the next 2-3 weeks. Now, walking with a crutch is obviously a little bit different from walking with two functional legs. The things that you have to keep in mind is, first, you have to allow this crutch to bear the weight of the affected side. Second, you have to center yourself in such a way, you know, that you're balanced, so obviously you don't fall. And thirdly, you know, you rely on this crutch basically to get yourself through the day, to wherever you're going, no matter where you're going. You know, many people think that religion, Christianity included, is a crutch. And they don't need crutches in life because they can walk just fine. But I say to you, brothers and sisters, we need all the help that we can get. And I certainly don't mind getting help from the Creator of the universe. The fact is, Jesus can help us walk because He bore the weight of our sin. If we can keep Jesus at the center of our life, we can live balanced lives. And the fact is, we need Jesus as our crutch 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Amen? Yeah. So we must walk with Christ. We must also be in a relationship with Christ. We must be rooted in Jesus. Now picture yourself as this tree. You're the tree, you're the top part. And you're getting nourishment from the roots, from the bottom. The roots are Jesus, right? So you get nourishment from the roots. You get your food. But you also, very importantly, get stability, right? Those two things. Once the winds and the storms come about and push, you know, the top of the tree, that tree will stand firm because of those solid roots. In the same way, we can stand firm in Jesus because he is our root. He is our roots. When we rely on Jesus, we receive spiritual food from him, and we are strengthened and are established in him. You know, one of the best ways to have a lasting relationship is to keep lines of communication open. All right, spouses out there, you need to talk to each other regularly. And then those of you that have boyfriends or girlfriends, same with you guys. You need to talk. You need to share what's going on with your lives and be open with each other in order for your relationship to grow. It's just a fact. If you don't talk, your relationship will fizzle. You know what the beautiful thing is about being in a relationship with Jesus, though? Jesus loves us and pursues us. God pursues us? Because of God's very nature, which is love, he seeks to have a relationship with us. And David, psalmist, writes, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life." That version's the New Living Translation. You know, this is not just some passive following. It is not a result of any good works that we've done. God pursues us with his unfailing love and goodness, not just temporarily, not just for one instant, but for all the days of our lives. He pursues us even if we ignore him. He pursues us if we even take him for granted. He pursues us even if we turn his back on him. His unfailing love and his goodness pursues you. And today, I challenge you to live in the joy that God is pursuing you with his love. Now, the Bible also says we can get our strength from God through this relationship. Jesus is the crutch that gives us supernatural strength and power. In the Old Testament, Isaiah says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." In Philippians, New Testament says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This is one of my favorite verses, Philippians 4:13. You know, it's also one of the favorite verses of this athlete. This is Stephen Curry. He's a 6'3", 185-pound guard for the NBA's Golden State Warriors. And he's a very public with his Christian faith. In fact, Philippians 4:13 is his favorite verse, and he actually wears it on his shoe. So I don't know if you can see the little writing inscribed near his toe. It says, "I can do all things Recently, he even had his big contract with Under Armour to have his signature shoe, the Curry One. And there's a reference to 4:13 on the tongue. You know, you'll know Stephen Curry for his gesture of pointing his right index finger upward after making one of those long arching bombs. But he does this for a purpose. It's not to say that he's number one, but it's an outward sign and an internal reminder to give God all the glory for his success. Draw your strength from Christ as you walk in him. You know, also in our relationship with Christ, we can find rest. In our opening verse that Robert mentioned today, talked about finding rest. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, in this verse, Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. You know, when I was a very young Christian, this spiritual story helped me understand God's great love for me. Maybe you've seen it on bookmarks, paintings, you know, maybe some plaques in Christian bookstores. But it goes something like this. The story goes, deep in his slumber one night, a man had a very real yet surreal dream. He dreamt that he was walking along the beach with God. And as he looked up at the sky, he saw all the scenes of his life flash by, along with two sets of footprints, one set for himself and another for God. After all the scenes had flashed before him, he looked back at those footprints and noticed something quite disturbing. At the most difficult times in his life, he saw only one set of footprints. This deeply troubled the man. So he turned to God. He turned and he said to God, you said that if I followed you, then you would always walk with me through thick and thin. And looking back, I see that during the most painful times, there is only one set of footprints. Why did you leave me when I needed you the most? And God replied, I love you and would never leave you. And it was during those times when you suffered the most that I carried you. Brothers and sisters, this is a verse, or this is not a Bible verse, it's just a Christian story. But this is a story that comforted me. And I want to encourage you to remember this story because Jesus will comfort you, even carry you through those times when you're too tired, too weary to even walk anymore. So where can we find examples of walking in Christ or walking with God? There's so many examples in the Old Testament, New Testament, but I want to bring your attention to this very special one to me. This is when I was, you know, very young, and my grandfather came to Canada, and you know, he started me reading the Bible. This is one of the first stories that struck me because we started in Genesis, so we did the whole creation account, and he highlighted this story about this Old Testament figure. His name was Enoch. Enoch was the first man mentioned in the Bible who walked with God. The story for your reference is found in Genesis 5:22-24. Enoch is very special because he is one of two people, the other being Elijah, in the Old Testament, who ascended into heaven without experiencing physical death. Now, it is viewed that both Elijah and Enoch were so special to God that God chose to let them bypass physical death. In actuality, this is an Old Testament foreshadowing of the idea that being out of the body meant being present with the Lord. Enoch, you know, he was a very ordinary man. But the thing with Enoch was he was an ordinary man with an extraordinary relationship with God. What was the secret behind Enoch being so highly favored by God so as to not experience this physical death? Well, for today, let's look at three things that Scripture says about Enoch. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament mentions him as a hero of faith. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. I'll say that again. He was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch earnestly sought God and was rewarded for that. A Christian must have genuine faith that Enoch had. This is not a faith that believes that a divine being exists. It's more than that. It's believing, it's a faith that the God of Scripture is the only real and true God who exists. And this God will reward people's faith in him with forgiveness and righteousness because he has promised to do so. Another passage in Scripture is Jude 14. This is what Jude says about Enoch. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch prophesied here about Christ's second coming in judgment. In other words, this passage in Jude is saying Enoch was an evangelist and he shared his faith with everyone. You know, if you walk closely with God, you will want to share the good news about eternal life in Jesus Christ to everyone, to your family, to your friends, your classmates, to your neighbors, to your co-workers. And this is what Enoch did. Thirdly, Enoch's decision to walk with God came at this point in his life, this special time, when his first son was born. We'll read for you in Genesis 5, the account. So when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And most of us know from Sunday school, Methuselah is the oldest person recorded in the Bible who lived. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. It was this milestone in Enoch's life that brought him closer to God. You know, Enoch must have looked at the miracle of his beautiful little son and thought, there must be a God. There may have been other things that motivated Enoch to walk with God, but they are not mentioned in the Bible. You know, suffice it to say, Scripture tells us all we need to know about Enoch's faith in something like 9 verses. If Methuselah's birth inspired Enoch to walk with God, then that's all that we need to know. You know, I can certainly attest to the fact that the birth of your first child is a very special moment. It brought me closer to God. As did my wedding day, even, when I was saying my marriage vows with Tracy. You know, these special moments, these milestones have a way of deepening our relationship with our Creator. God reveals Himself and His truth to us at these times so that we cannot deny the existence of an almighty, omnipotent, loving God. So friends, what I ask you today is, what milestones in your life have you experienced that have brought you to a closer walk with God? Was it your wedding day last year? Was it that praise and worship night or Christian concert that you went to? Maybe some of you attended the recent winter conference in Surrey, or a similar type of retreat or camping event. Was it welcoming a baby into your lives? Or was it a decision to come to Christ and to follow Him in the waters of baptism? I invite you to reflect on these significant times in your life, and then use these spiritual mountaintops as springboards in your walk with Jesus. Don't let the excitement and the fire die down. Keep those coals burning hot. Keep your love for God burning hot. You know, Enoch lived in a very difficult time. During his generation, man was so depraved and wicked. And then maybe you are saying, well, I can't walk with God because the pressures of this world are too great. Enoch was able to walk with God in spite of the pressures and evils of his generation. Let's follow Enoch's example. And so as I conclude the message today, brothers and sisters, we need to walk with Christ. And we need to walk with Him daily. This is the only way we will mature as Christians and exercise our faith muscles. We need to accept the fact that we all walk with a limp caused by sin, and that Jesus is the crutch that can help us walk correctly in this world. Now, I would rather walk with a crutch into heaven than limp my way to an eternity in hell. What about you? If you haven't been walking with Him lately, you can change that. Make that one of your 2015 resolutions. Maybe do it today. I'm going to call on our worship team to end in the song response and as I pray. Father in heaven, Your word is so beautiful. We are so privileged to be able to open it up and study it freely. So thank You, Lord, for giving us insight into how to walk with You. And thank You, Lord, for giving us examples in the Bible, such as Enoch, a man who walked with God, who did not even experience physical death. Father, it is my prayer for us as a congregation to deepen our walks with You. And as our church theme also says, to make this change, you know, have this change coming from the inside, and that it would be manifest in our lives, that people would see and know that we are Christians. Thank You, Father, again for this day. And we pray Your blessing in Jesus' name.